Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. So glad you came out. We do have air conditioning, so we're thankful that you're here for Jesus and not just the air conditioning. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's very hot out there. Yesterday, I lost 30 pounds. My legs were usually a bit bigger than this, but they... it's been a hot one. Lots of fires going on, lots of sweatiness happening. Pretty exciting, right? Yeah, stay cool, stay hydrated. That's what we want. We want to make sure that you're in a cool place. And, you know, if you got to go to the mall, maybe to find some air conditioning, go do that. But definitely stay hydrated. That's vital in this type of weather. And it's only going to get hotter, apparently. Next week, it's supposed to get up, tomorrow, the high is supposed to be in the 40s. It feels like 50. I don't know if we've ever had that. I don't remember it in my lifetime. Maybe it was, but yeah. So it's wild. We're living in very interesting times right now, and it's just another thing we have to do. But I'm excited about our new sermon series. We're calling it Simplicity, and I think going into Galatians is a good timed thing right now because the way our world is going and what's happening in our world, Galatians is a really simple but yet important letter Paul wrote to the Galatians in the Galatian church. And I want to read to you this morning from chapter 1, verses 6 to 17. And I'm going to try and follow this on the screen. Actually, I can't really see that super well. I'm getting older. So I'm going to read from here. And if you could just advance those as I go. Yeah, great. So verses 6 to 17 in chapter 1. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many my own age among the people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia, later returned to Damascus. Now, when we talk about salvation, and sometimes we get a little bit confused, salvation is the fact that God rescued us through Jesus Christ. Let's be clear on that. And by grace alone, which means God is favorably inclined towards us. And I really like how that sounds. God is favorably inclined towards us, which means he shows us favor. For no reason at all, other than he created us, he shows us favor. And then we're to believe it through faith in Jesus Christ. And so because we are in the Word regularly, because we do our devotions and we read Scripture, or at least we should be, we will be able to recognize false teachings easier because we're in the Word. Now, the book of Galatians is a great insight into the Apostle Paul's passionate rebuke against and correction against false teaching and the word that they kind of twisted. And so he's talking to the Galatia church, which would be modern day Turkey. Now, this distortion of the gospel was due to the fact that there were false teachers running around preaching a different gospel. Now, many of you might know this, might have heard it, but they were going around preaching all sorts of stuff because of works. They wanted to bring everybody back to legalism, by if you do certain steps, you will gain God's favor. But Paul is saying, no, no matter what, whether you're visited by us or an angel with a different gospel, it is not to be changed. And so a lot of Christians were misunderstanding salvation, God saving us, grace, we get it, we're in his favor no matter what, through just believing in him. It's that simple, right? And the Galatians in this book can help us remember that simplicity of the gospel is God's greatest gift to us. Mankind loves to complicate things. We like rules and checklists. We like to know, what do I have to do? How many stars in my Starbucks card do I have to get before I get the free coffee? We need levels. We like levels. And Paul is saying, with God, there are no levels. You're all equal. All you have to do is believe. And that's it. And many who don't believe will think that Christianity is lacking something because it's so simple. But I believe we've complicated it with a religious system, and we need to get out of that. I believe that bad theology, when we get stuck in it, is like a common housefly. I don't know if about you, but people think I'm a germaphobe, which I am not. I'm a bugaphobe. I don't like bugs. They're irritants. I was on a night shift not too long ago. Actually, it was this month. I got into bed hoping there would be no calls, but of course that never happens. But at this particular time, I got into bed, turned off my light, and said, Lord, if you love me, let there be no calls tonight. He loves me, but he gave me some call. Anyways, as I lay down, within 5 minutes, I hear this bzzz flying, and I'm like, whoa. And now, because I despise bugs so much, I'm always afraid they're going to climb in my mouth while I'm sleeping, because I'm a snorer. So why wouldn't they? Because it's a gaping hole. They're going to go in it. I can't sleep. Get up, flick the light on, grab a magazine, and I'm 30 minutes trying to get this irritant out of my dorm. Swatting, smacking the wall. People in the other dorms like, what are you doing? I'm trying to kill a fly. And they're like, just leave it. No. And I'm banging the walls, and I'm kicking the bed, and it flew under the bed. It came around, and I finally smacked it on the wall. I'm like, you're going to lay there and stay dead. Turned the light off, went back to sleep, tried. Within 30 seconds, this thing is back again. On with the light, grab the magazine, and I'm going to get them. And I battle for a very long time trying to deal with this fly that wouldn't die. It was a major disruption in my life. You say, it's simple? Yes. I don't like flies. It'd be like a mosquito buzzing in your ear. This thing was the size of a small bird, if not a cat, flying around the room, disrupting me, and I can't sleep because I know it's going for my mouth, or, yeah, it's not good. You see, bad theology and misguided teachings are disruptive in our lives, in our walk with God. They may seem like they're harmless, but over time, they become a major disruption in our faith and in our journey. In verses 6 and 7, six to 17, Paul is talking about this conversation that we've all fallen prey to, where we've maybe thought something was true that wasn't. And a lot of theologies you can kill, you can smack them, and somehow they come back to life. They come back again. If you've been in the church long enough, if you've been involved in the church in any way or been saved, you see that the things of the 90s have come back again. And of the early 2000s. And nowadays, it doesn't even take very long. You can have a bad theology 3 years ago and it comes back again as another name. It just keeps coming back, buzzing around your face. And it's annoying. And it drives me crazy. And Paul is trying to tell us, hey, we've all done this, we've all been swayed, but guess what? You don't need to be, because here's the simplicity of the gospel. We can all experience a drift. We can all experience where we felt down, where we felt that maybe there's another way of looking at a scripture or a belief system that we have. And as we walk through our journey with God, each day we should be growing. There'll be step backs, but there'll be growth. And the hard questions need to be asked. And no question should be taboo when you're trying to grow in your faith. That's why I love life groups. We're able to discuss, and now it's been a little bit different lately because of the on Zoom. And we can all have different theologies or belief systems and or things that we think might be accurate or true. But in the end, if we're not showing exactly what Jesus has told us, you see, Paul says, I didn't get this from anyone else. I got it from Jesus. I got it from the source. And when Jesus says, love God, love your neighbor, and they'll know you by how you love each other, then guess what? We need to do that. It's simple. We believe that God has saved us because of grace. We didn't deserve it, but he gave us salvation because of grace, because of our faith in him. And he wants any reason to include you. Now, our theology will be challenged. And that's important because that's how we grow. And there's a multitude of voices out there that you'll see on social media. You'll see them on TV. You'll hear them on the radio. There's podcasts. You can pretty much say anything nowadays. And we need to be careful that we are not worshiping the speaker more than we are the message. The message is important. The speaker can be flashy and good and have a nice smile and good hair, but guess what? In the end, it doesn't matter if the message is not about Jesus Christ and does not focus directly on who Jesus is and what has been done for us, for nothing that we could do on our own. But in Galatia, they had turned to a different gospel, a false gospel that had a lot of legalism in it, a lot of systems in place. And originally those systems were created because humans needed a way to express themselves to God. And so systems were put in place. And those systems were probably good at the beginning, but they grew and they grew and they grew and they became unbearable to the point of where you couldn't do anything without checking with the religious system. And we like that because then it gives us a gauge. It lets us know where we are in the pecking order of our faith compared to our neighbors. And Scripture and the message of Jesus Christ is very clear. Everyone gets this. No matter what, everyone can receive God's grace, his salvation. All they have to do is believe. And that sounds silly to our world today because we are in a inclusion at all costs, non-confrontational, truth is relative culture. Now, there's a lot going on right now in our world. But if we boil everything down to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, and they'll know you by how you're loved, each other, it makes it simple and easy. God's grace, because it's salvation and faith. It's simple, but we make it complex because we say, well, it's more complicated than that. Well, it's not. The message of Jesus Christ is clear. He's come to save and seek the lost, and then we're to do the same to help others. People will say to you, well, I'm sorry, but the gospel is confrontational. The gospel is offensive. It is counterculture. It doesn't have to offend, but because of the truth of it, it can offend, if you see what I'm saying. Our culture doesn't like rules unless they make them and unless they lay them out. So what we need to do is recognize that all the stuff that's going on in our world right now, all the atrocities that have happened are, if they were guided by this rule of loving God and loving our neighbor and loving each other, these wouldn't happen. So we need to look back and learn from that. Just like we learn from our faith walk, how as we walk through our life, you all have your own testimony of how God came into your life and did something, or how God speaks to you or is speaking to you. Or maybe you're in that journey right now where God is speaking to you to a certain point. We need to learn from our past, never forget it, never do these atrocities again, and then move forward and be better. And that's the same in our Christian walk. We need to move ahead and be better and continue to grow. But these people that were speaking to the Galatians, Paul is saying, listen, you can't listen to a gospel other than Jesus Christ, the one that you originally came to. What happens in our Christian walk is we get so mature in our faith that we start making things up because culturally it makes sense to us. And we've even gone to the point in churches, and we've talked about this before, where we turn how we do an offering into a religious event. And it has to be done a certain way, or whether it's music, or whether it's how the service is structured. COVID, if you had a view of how church should be, this should have just messed you up spiritually, because it's not the same. And those that struggle with it can't get past, well, I used to do it this way, but now it happens this way. I don't accept it. It's not of God. We need to be careful we're not doing that, because we can worship God however we want in whatever structure we want. We do the structure to create order so it's not chaos. And Scripture even talks about having an orderly service. Everybody not just spouting off and wailing and doing all that. It talks about controlling yourselves, because God is a God of control, self-control. We should have self-control. So there is direction in so many ways, but we can express ourselves to God in our own way, and it can change. You go back 100 years, they didn't do church like we do it now. What does that say about their faith if you're stuck in a way that can't be changed? Now, again, like I said, Scripture, the Bible, can be offensive to our culture because it's counterculture, but it doesn't need to be offensive to others. We can have a conversation, have those difficult talks, those difficult discussions where no questions should be off the table, and no one should be offended by their faith or their theology being challenged. Take that as an opportunity to grow in your faith moving forward. If you never did this before, now's the time to start. Move forward. Have you ever heard this saying, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar? Have you heard that? So I like to get to know my enemy, and I've studied the house fly and the horse fly and all the other gross flies. I'm like, how can I destroy you? Did you know that flies cannot tell the difference between pure honey an artificial sweetener? Well, I know that because I want them all dead. They can't tell the difference. It's just sweet. An artificial sweetener is toxic poison to all of us, but especially to houseflies. So that is exactly the same way when we have bad theology, it's toxic. It's bad for us. And if we don't know the difference, it can lead us down a path that's toxic, that's divisive, that's artificial. And it can spiritually destroy us. I used to drink Diet Coke, sorry, Pepsi lovers, but I used to drink that on a regular basis. And eventually, it just tasted normal. Just tasted, and then I realized how bad it was, and I stopped doing that. But then your very first sugar drink almost blows your taste buds because it's so sweet. Well, did you notice that in Scripture, they're going to a land with milk and honey? They didn't say almond milk and artificial sweetener. They said milk and honey. Not fake, legit, real. We need to be able to tell the difference. And in your faith, can you tell the difference? We've been going through a pandemic, in case you didn't notice, and it's been difficult for some to differentiate between what's real and what's not real, what's false. Many think that either vaccines are wrong or the rules that have been in place are wrong. And you know what? We have to show grace to those that are struggling with that. And I'm totally, you know, behind. I want to help people understand. I don't want to condemn them. But when it becomes an argument for Christianity, we got a problem. There's a difference between an actual theological argument and science. Science and theology can come together. I want to tell you today that I'm a believer in science and theology coming together. Has anyone ever mentioned to you that being a Christian, you don't believe in dinosaurs, that Christians don't believe in dinosaurs? Well, they've said it to me, and I went, really? Because what are they digging up in Alberta? Did someone thousands of years ago, there's another debate on, you know, we'll talk about that another time. Did somebody go, I know how I'm going to mess people up in 2021. I'm going to carve a giant rhinoceros or dinosaurus rex or whatever they're called and put it in the ground and bury it in dirt so that when they dig it up, they'll believe there were dinosaurs. Do you really think someone thought that? No. There's things that we can't explain like dinosaurs. They were here. I don't know much about them, but I know they were here. They dig them up. They just found a new one, I think, in Australia. Well, good on them. They found a new dinosaur. Great. Does that wreck my theology? Someone said to me one day, they said, they better not have put a T-Rex on Noah's Ark because it would have eaten all the other coupled animals. And I went, oh, that's a good point. I don't know where they were then. I don't know. It's okay. But does that challenge you to go, I want to dig a little deeper and find out what's going on here? You see, science can come together with theology. It can. It doesn't take away what Jesus did or how that came about because a dinosaur was dug up the other day. It doesn't change anything. So we have to be careful that we don't misunderstand and then run with something because of our, in the true definition, of our ignorance, because we don't know. So go find out. Do some research. Look into things. I have received 2 shots of a COVID vaccine or booster, whatever you want to call it. If you don't like that, then don't do it. But I have got it. And that's okay. And if you don't want it, well, then that's up to you. But there is scientific proof that it's helped. Look at our numbers. So there's reasons why these things work the way they do. They work. Could there be side effects? Yeah, I might grow a third arm out of my chest. Maybe. I don't know. But if that's how I go, then that's how I go. But I'm not willing. You know, we had polio vaccines. As kids, we took all sorts of different vaccines. I just met a lady who is 93 years old last night. I was talking with her. She's lived through a lot, okay? Right on her fridge, and says, I'm fully vaccinated. And she was as sweet as can be. She says, well, I've seen a lot of things. And nothing basically surprises me anymore. And she was happy to get vaccinated. Now, again, call it what you want. There's definitions, whatever you want to say. But let's not make this a theological issue. I have vaccines from childhood. Still here. So, that's all I want to say about vaccinations. But again, if you don't want it, don't be upset that I do, right? We won't be. We won't have to argue, and we're all good, and we're all happy. But the message of Jesus Christ is simple, and we can make it complicated by how we feel about something, by confusion, by artificial truth that sounds just like the real thing, but isn't. Kind of like Pepsi. It's not, just not quite Coca-Cola. Sorry, Daryl. Many of us have a favorite newspaper or news source that we like to go to. Well, I want to go to Jesus when it comes to God, when it comes to what he's done for me and what he expects for me, because I know it's reliable. You know, we've heard a lot about false news and all that. I'm not going to get into that stuff, but we got to be careful we're not being led somewhere. Nowadays, with all the algorithms that they use in social media, by how you look at things on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, wherever you go, they follow and they know what you like and they know what you like to hear. Be educated beyond that. Read other things. Don't just go with that because they will direct you. Have you ever been sitting with your spouse, friends, whatever, talked about something totally random and then got ads on your phone for it? That's not a coincidence, friends, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't necessarily think they're listening, but maybe they are. I don't know, but they definitely know what you're doing, and they can pinpoint it because it's just that good of a system. Be careful you're not being led. If I start looking up information on the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, it starts turning me in directions to hear only their views and only what they think is right and how the other's wrong. Get a better source. Get a better source. And our best source is here. And if anyone from this pulpit, from any other source you get it from, says something that's contrary to what Jesus Christ has said, question it. Look it up. Do your research. It's important because it's our faith in the living God. It's not something to play around with. Where are you getting your message from Jesus from? Scripture or some speaker that you really enjoy online or on TV or on a podcast? Would you believe everything that they said just because they said it because you liked them? They got some flashy dudes down in the States. Got to be careful. There's a lot of great speakers out there, but we need to measure everything by the life of Jesus Christ according to what we have, which are these letters and these books. When we're in the Word and when we're spending time with God, we will not be swayed of how something was communicated, but more on who that message was communicated about. I have one challenge for you today. Make sure you're checking the message of Jesus Christ that somebody speaks because you know the person of Jesus Christ. Check everything that is said from this point forward. If you haven't been, if you just believe in whatever you see, or, oh, this sounds true. There's a lot of stuff out there that sounds true but is not true. And the only way you'll be able to decipher is by beginning in his word and knowing who Jesus Christ is. So I challenge you as we move forward, get into his word more to understand what's happening. And that's why I love life groups. You know, they've been a little different lately, but life groups help because there's other people you can talk to. And no question should be turned away so that you can walk through your journey with Jesus Christ and learn more. Then we won't be easily swayed by culture just because it sounds right. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone here. And as we move forward in this very strange time in our world, help us, first of all, to not try to offend people. Help us to be loving and gracious just like you've been to us. Help us to treat others the way we would want ourselves to be treated. And in each and every situation represented here and online, I just pray that you will give the words to say, or even more importantly, not say, by just living the life to those around us so that they can see who you are, who Jesus is, and live that life accordingly. Help us to change our culture to the positive and not to the negative when difficult times come. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming and thanks for joining us. As we move forward, there'll be some information coming out this week. I have information from Bonnie Henry's meeting a few weeks ago that most of the restrictions should be peeled back for us. There could be one service next week, but I just want to confirm it and make sure. So that email will come out. It might be mid to later in the week. It depends on what she does and what she says and when she says it. And I'll try to keep you posted as quick as possible on that as soon as she's being very kind to us, honestly. I know a lot of people have a problem with her. And again, I respect what she's done because she's going to be wrong no matter which way she goes, basically. She's going to offend people or upset people. But she's done the best she could, and there's some things that didn't make sense. But again, overall, I want to support our leaders, and she has come alongside the religious community and said, hey, you guys have been great. You've done what we've asked most. And so what she wants to do is get us back in meeting and doing things together on a regular basis with maybe a few precautions, but other than that, it's going to open up. So I'm very thankful for that and glad that you all stuck with us and we were able to get through this, and here we are. So let's move forward and learn from the past and see what we can do better as we go into the future. God bless you. See you soon. Look for those emails. Have a great week.